Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, November 3rd, 2017. With me today, John Martellaro. How's it going, John?
Wait, it's Friday already? Oh, my.
I know. Time flies when you're waiting for a new iPhone.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning. Dave Hamilton, how are you?
Wait, my name's Dave already? Wow.
I know. Time flies.
Thanks for having me.
It's good to have both of you here.
Time flies like an arrow of fruit flies. Yeah.
Like bananas.
Yeah.
Why don't I just have you guys on every single day?
My comedy partner, Dave.
Yeah, I'll play your straight man anytime until I just can't take it anymore.
and that's when I do the outro bumper and we call it a show.
That's right.
See, this sounds like a perfect setup to me. I bring you on, you entertain me for 15 or 20 minutes, and I go on with my day.
I thought that's
what we did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just making it official.
There you go.
Yeah. Anyhow, Apple, they did their earnings report yesterday, fourth fiscal quarter for 2017, and Apple reported $52.6 billion in revenue. And so that beat Wall Street's estimates, and they sold 46.7 million iPhones, 10.3 million iPads, 5.3 million Macs, and so that actually beats Wall Street's estimates again. So Apple had what looks to be a really good quarter.
And firing on all cylinders.
As they say. So I'm curious, do you guys have any thoughts on yesterday's earnings report, especially knowing that Tim Cook came out and said they're expecting the December quarter to be the best quarter they've ever had?
My first thoughts were that Tim Cook has his normal exuberant self, but sometimes there are earnings reports where there are issues, to put it kindly, mm-hmm. and Tim Cook is effusive or finds a workaround or talks around it or focuses on other aspects, and we say, yeah, he's always like that. But my reaction yesterday was that Apple did very well in that quarter, and it's probably why the stock market is up. They are firing on all cylinders. I'm not annoyed about the iPads being lower than last quarter because it's the year-over-year increase.
And I was curious what you would think of the iPads because you've
been critical. Yeah, I'm going to watch that pretty closely, and I have been critical. But I can't say 10.3 million iPads is a bad thing because I think a year ago it was something like 9.5 or something like that. So, you know, year over year is what counts in growth. Well, and it's seasonal. You know, the Christmas quarter is going to be a lot more than 10. So I'm looking forward to that. And also, the Macintosh thing was nice. I think that's about an extra million or so Macs, because Apple started shipping new Macs again, and that's an extra $1 billion at $1,000 each. So I guess $1 billion kind of made it worthwhile to do all that research and come out with new Macs. And so I was really happy to see the Mac sales.
It seems like this fits with Brian's snarky line. Here's one crazy thing Apple can do to goose sales.
Come out with new
products.
Macs. Yeah.
New products. Yeah, absolutely. And that, you know, the Mac's interesting. I always wonder, obviously, they sell way more iPhones than they do Macs or anything else for that matter. But could Apple succeed without having the Mac in its product line? Mm. And, I mean, I realize that's, you know, almost sacrilege amongst us to say. But, you know, it's worth just being realistic about it. Could they survive without that? I don't think that's their plan. It's obvious they're, you know, investing in the Mac. They don't see that as a good idea. And I don't think I do either. I don't think they could survive without the Mac.
I don't think it's anything as mundane as, you know, having to have a Mac to manage your phone or do any of the other housekeeping stuff. I just think it's part of the enterprise infrastructure app. Apple's expected to be part of the enterprise and home market in various ways, and the Mac has its role.
It has its role. Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, they don't sell nearly as many of them, but I think without the Mac, there's a hole there, and that holistic approach of having all of these devices syncing with iCloud, and I can take a picture on my phone, and without really even thinking, I can open up photos, old school here. Open up photos on my Mac and edit it, right? And then save those edits, and magically they're back. It's not magic, I know, but you know, it's just like as if by magic, it's back on my iPhone. And like, that's a beautiful thing. And I don't think we're at a point today or even in the next few years where most people won't need a computer at home.
I think Apple caters to those young people who haven't developed a legacy archive. You know, for us, those of us who are older, we have thousands of photos. We may have a RAID system.
Yeah.
Like a Synology or a Strobo. We've got lots of different pieces of equipment that we integrate. But for, you know, young college students who don't have a petabyte of data, you know, accumulated in their lifetime, they may not need a Mac. They may be able to just survive on a phone and store the data in the cloud.
I don't know about that. I mean, they will need access, regular access to a computer. And I say that as a father of two high school students that, you know, and one of whom is planning on going off to college next year. So there's no way either one of them could get the work done that they need to get done for school without regular access to a computer. Now, that might be a computer that's at school or something like that, but doing it on their phone or their iPad, they don't do that, and neither do any of their peers.
So I have a question for you, Dave, on that. We see articles from time to time about how I've dropped my MacBook and I'm doing all my work on my new iPad Pro, and it does everything I need to do. Are your kids in that boat? I'm not prying, but do they use iPads at school as their only device?
They use laptops as their main device to get work done with.
Right, and so of course, I'm curious, or by necessity.
What are the limitations that they're finding with an iPad Pro that forces them into using a laptop or desktop computer?
You know, it might be force of habit. You know, when they had to start doing this stuff in middle school, the iPad was not the iPad Pro, right? So it very different experience, and iOS was not iOS 11, right? You know, the enhancements that we've seen to the iPad, and specifically the iPad Pro this year, are, you know, by nature of the way time flows, new. Mm-hmm. So is it possible that in 3 years, like, that tide shifts? Maybe, because a lot of what my kids do is Chrome. They run Chrome and they use Google Classroom and that sort of thing. So there's all of that is happening. And of course, you can do that from an iPad. It's just a web browser, right? It's not like there's any special app that they're using on their Macs. In fact, you could probably find a specialized app on the iPad that you couldn't find on the Mac.
Probably.
Yeah. And, you know, my daughter's, she's the editor in chief of her school magazine. They use Trello a bunch. They use Slack. You know, but obviously those apps exist on the iPad. So it would be doable.
Slower.
What's that?
I think it would be slower.
It probably would be slower. They use GeoGebra for a lot of the math graphing and that sort of thing. And John, you'll find this interesting. Because you're a calculator guy, I asked my son, who has a TI calculator now, I said, does anybody use HP calculators? He says, oh, no, I don't even think HP makes calculators. Like, no one in the school uses
they
HP.
They still make a few.
Oh, yes, they do. Of course, they make one of the top of the line ones. But it seems like, at least in our school district, they've standard on TI.
What's interesting is that when I was in graduate school, all of us used Hewlett Packards. And I read an article the other day that today, nobody uses RPN anymore. Yeah. They find it very confusing.
I asked my son about if he understood RPN and this.
And
is
he said, "Isn't that how fast a record spins?"
Right. he doesn't know records either.
I know.
Yeah, reverse Polish notation. You can look it up. Kids, ask your parents, or I don't know who you would ask.
Ask your smart uncle.
Ask your grandparents.
Exactly. I don't even know that grandparents, like, I guess my dad knows about RPN, but you know, I come from a family of engineers. Anyway, we digressed from a digression. So I digress in apologizing.
No, that's okay, because this was really interesting. But I'm going to digress us into a different topic just because I want to make sure we don't run out of time. I want to talk about the iPhone, and specifically the iPhone 10, which was not accounted for in the earnings report that we heard yesterday, that had some iPhone 8 sales, iPhone 7, 7 Plus, and Apple Watch Series 3, and the new 12.9 and 10.5 inch iPad Pros, stuff like that, but no iPhone 10. And today's the day iPhone 10 starts showing up, and a lot of people have been looking at the shipping delays that started cropping up within minutes after the iPhone 10 pre-orders began. And we're looking at that and saying, oh, well, this shows that Apple can't produce enough, or that demand is too high. And then it stabilized 5 to 6 weeks delay. And then people started saying, oh, this shows that people aren't interested because the delay isn't getting longer. Well, no. I have a hypothesis on this.
And this is a good one. I've heard it.
Okay. So I'm going to let you guys check me on this, but it seems John already has. So what I believe happened is that Apple was working on ramping up production. So when last Friday rolled around and pre-orders began, there just weren't enough iPhones in Apple's inventory at that time to get everyone an iPhone that pre-ordered today, and to have enough inventory in the stores. So that delay for shipping kept getting pushed out. Then when it hit 5 to 6 weeks, it stabilized. I believe that's when Apple was able to ramp up production enough that they were able to kind of hold their own. And now they've been able to ramp up production even more. And so the wait time is dropping back down. And people,
I have evidence of that. My wait time reduced by 11 days. I'm from December 11 back to December 1st. I got the email last night, and other people have reported in advance of their delivery date. And Tim Cook said in the earnings report yesterday that every day or every week, I forget, their production capacity is growing, which confirms your thesis, Jeff.
Yes. Yeah, I'm on board with this. Yeah.
All right. So
it doesn't take that long to make one iPhone.
No,
they need to continue to scale up, which is what they're doing. Hence, I think when it hit 5 or 6 weeks, they just sort of left it and hung it there.
Well, if there's one part they're having trouble getting, that can slow down everything. All they have to do is have one part, like the infrared laser, maybe, that is in short supply, and that can kill the whole assembly process.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. But it seems like that's not a big problem, because we do see these production time or these delivery times getting reduced, and we see that people are happy because they're finding that what they thought was going to show up maybe close to Christmas is now showing up maybe at the beginning of December, and that's significant time change.
Apple always comes through. You know, they're very good at engineering. They have great supply chain management. The situation seems to be hardly any worse than the iPhone 7, which got pushed out, and supply didn't meet demand until early in 2017. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for an iPhone 10 this popular to still be stabilized at 5 weeks is a good sign that Apple has really got its supply chain and its manufacturing problems under control. And they always come through. The sky did not fall this year, as predicted.
Well, they predict it's going to fall every year, and it hasn't yet. So now, Dave, you and I, we placed orders at stupid o'clock on pre-order day.
Stupid o'clock. That's right.
Yep. And and our iPhones are being delivered today. So mine is not here yet, but should be soon, hopefully. I'm assuming yours has not arrived yet, because you're actually still on the call with me.
On the call with you, correct. Yeah, mine, it's interesting. I ordered direct from Apple at stupid o'clock, and they shipped via UPS, which is what they do for, I think, everybody, but maybe there's some anomalies to that. But anyway, mine is coming via UPS. I know UPS has this follow my delivery thing that you can find like the GPS of the truck that it's on and, you know, stalk it throughout your general area. And I was looking for that this morning and couldn't find it on UPS's website. And lo and behold, an email comes in and it says, follow your delivery. Like, awesome. So I've been sitting here watching this truck. I say he because I know my driver and I know that he's on this week and I've already had a conversation with him about, you know, how we're going to do this delivery if I'm not home and where this pre-signed thing is going to be. But he has been within about 5 minutes of my house for the last 2 hours. So that's
frustrating. So he's just going up and down the street dropping off phones?
Yeah, phones and other packages, of course. But I live not that far, about 5 minutes from a major university, the University of New Hampshire. So and that's where he's been, is both campus and then what we call our faculty neighborhood, which is a lot of homes sort of packed in pretty tightly. So this is probably not rare. I always tell people when they're troubleshooting their computer, especially looking in the console, don't go there for the first time when you're having a problem. Because you need to go there before you're having a problem so you know what normal looks like. I have no idea what normal looks like for my UPS driver's patterns. So, I have no idea.
Except for right turns only.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've thought about, well, I could just go over there and stalk him down. But I have better things to do with my time and it's fine. It'll show up. I will offer this, though. When you and I were up at stupid o'clock, a friend mm-hmm. of mine that lives in the same town as me was also up at stupid o'clock, and he ordered his iPhone 10 from Apple. What he chose to do was to do the earliest available appointment for in-store pickup at the store that's about an hour away from me, maybe 45 minutes away from us. That's our closest Apple store. Mm-hmm. And so he got a 7 a.m. pickup slot, and he said he arrived about 10 minutes of 7. He was fourth in line. And then he went into the store, they sold him his phone, and he actually was then sitting right in the store where he did a backup of his 6S onto his computer, and then is restoring or sent me a picture at 8:38 a.m. where he was restoring to his iPhone 10 sitting there right in the store. I may join him next year.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, that takes the guesswork out of when is my delivery going to arrive.
Correct. And for the people, and I know there's a lot of people out there that say, I'm going to take the day off of work so that I'm home when it gets delivered. If you live within reasonable driving distance, and I leave that interpretation up to you.
Sure.
But if you live within what for you is reasonable driving distance of an Apple store, man, this is the way to do it.
I usually do that, but this time around for the Denver region, the Apple online store said in-store pickup was not available for me.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I wonder if it's because you ordered later, like days later.
Oh, no, I did a trial run the morning of the... Not stupid 30, but 8:30. I did a trial run, and it still said in-store pickup not available.
Interesting. Huh. All right. Well, I ordered through AT&T. My phone is coming via FedEx.
Right.
And I just checked a minute ago. It is on the truck for delivery. And my secret for making sure I don't miss any deliveries is that I have a separate mailbox, a UPS store box, so I can get everything from every delivery company delivered to a single location, and I don't have to worry about whether or not I'm home. So I'm just waiting for the message to come in to say it's delivered, and then I'll make the run and go pick up my phone. But
you can always pre-sign for delivery and stick the signature on the door, though.
Yes, but my phone would be sitting in a box in an area that's unsecured. It would be on a porch.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to play that game. But Dave, I really like your idea of just scheduling for in-store pickup. Go in, use Apple's broadband and transfer over to your new phone and call it good.
And you're good to go. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I like that. Well, you can still go into the store. After mine comes to the house, I'm going to go into the store and do it there and make sure everything goes smooth. as I always do.
Smart.
That's a clever idea.
Because having an Apple rip right there, you know, killing the old phone and setting up the activation on the new phone and getting everything straight. It's always fun to have an Apple employee kind of stepping through you, and they're so helpful. And if there's any issues, they're right there. And I've talked to some people who have had trouble with, you know, activating their phone on at home.
Totally.
If you have trouble, you know, then you're going to be going to the Apple store anyway for help. So you might as well get an appointment and get it right.
Huh. It's interesting. Yeah.
Yep. But makes sense. You're there if there's a problem, and you've got the people handy to help.
Plus, right then and there, they give me credit for my old phone.
If you want to trade it in. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, it can be a fruitful endeavor in many ways.
Yes.
I see what you did there, Dave. All right. We're out of time, so we need to wrap up. But before we wrap up, I had promised to tell everyone what the consensus was on the Animoji I need to use for my iPhone 10 review. And my guess is people are going to be surprised, because I was assuming it was going to be pile of poo. Monkey.
I was thinking unicorn, but
unicorn was a close second. Monkey.
Yeah. Huh.
So, I will use the monkey for my Animoji tests for my iPhone 10 review.
There you go.
And thank you to everyone for telling me what you thought I should use. And I assumed everyone would say pile of poo just to see me have to use pile of poo.
Right.
There were like two pile of poo votes. That was it.
It's nice to know what your listeners think of you, Jeff.
I know. My listeners think a lot of me, and I really appreciate that. It just warms my heart. Every one of you, you rock. And I'm so glad you listen. And we really do need to wrap up. So, Dave, thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
John, thank you for being here as well.
Pleasure as always.
And listeners, thank you so much for hooking me up with the Animoji Monkey. I'm so glad you listen every single day. Thanks for being here. We will see everyone again on Monday.